हय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावान जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन 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 जामुन तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर Radha Shama Sundara Radha Jai Jai Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
ISKCON B.B. Devanta Chari Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Antarachamad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Samveda Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Bahu Brahmanji. Omajnanatimirandhasya jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri garave namaha Shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupah kada mahyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham shri guru shri yutapadakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahaganarganatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahaganalalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare This morning I'm reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, The Process of Creation, Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Shri Shaka
Uvacha
Namo Parasmai
Purushaya
Bhuyase Namah Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase
Namah Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase
Sad Udbhava Sthana Nirodha Lilaya Sadut Bhavastana Nirodha Lilaya
Sadut
Bhavastana Nirodha Lilaya Grihita
Shakti
Vitayaya Dehinam Grihita Shakti Tritayaya Dehinam
Grihita Shakti Tritayaya
Dehinam Antarbhavaya
Antarbhavaya
Anupalakshya
Anupalakshya
Vartmane
Vartmane
Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane
Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane
Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane
Shri Shaka
Vacha Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase. Sadudbhavasthana nirodha lilaya. Trihita shakti tritayaya dehina. Antar bhavayanu palakshya vartmane. Shrishakavacha. Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase. Sadudbhavasthana nirodha lilaya. Trihita shakti tritayaya dehinam. Antar bhavayanu palakshya vartmane. Shrishaka uvacha. Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase. Satudbhavasthana nirodha lilaya. Trihita shakti tritayaya dehinam. Antar bhavayanu palakshya vartmane. Nama parasmai purushaya bhuyase.
Goswami said,
Namaha.
offering obeisances.
Offering obeisances.
Parasmai. The Supreme.
The Supreme.
Purushaya.
Purushaya.
Personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Bhuyase.
Bhuyase.
Unto the complete whole.
Unto the complete whole.
Sattva Dibhava.
Sattva.
The creation of the material world.
The creation of the material world.
Sthana.
Sthana.
Its maintenance.
Its maintenance.
Nirodha.
Nirodha.
And its winding up.
Lilaya.
By the pastime of.
Grihita.
Having accepted.
Shakti.
Power.
Power.
Trityaya.
Three modes.
Dehinam.
Dehinam.
Of all who possess material bodies.
Of all who possess material bodies.
Anta bhavaya.
Bhavaya.
Unto he who resides within.
Anupalakshya.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Vartmane. One who has such ways. Translation and purport by His Holiness Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is a complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable." Kindly respond. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole residing within the body of everyone. And his ways are inconceivable." Purport. This material world is a manifestation of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the Supreme Lord, for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world, accepts three predominating forms as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shankara, Shiva. As Vishnu, he enters into every body materially created. As Gaurabodhakshaya Vishnu, he enters into every universe. And as Kshirodhakshaya Vishnu, he enters the body of every living being. Lord Sri Krishna, being the origin of all Vishnu tattvas, is addressed here as Parapuman, or Purushottama, as described in the Bhagavad Gita 15.18. He is a complete whole. The Purusha avatars are therefore his plenary expansions. Bhakti Yoga is the only process by which one can become competent to know him. Because the empiric philosophers and mystic yogis cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead, he is called Anupalakshya Vartmane, the Lord of the Inconceivable Way, or Bhakti Yoga. Shishukurvacha namaparasmai purushaya bhuyase sadud bhavasthana nirodha lilaya rihita shakti tityaya dehinam antar bhavayana palakshya vatmane. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who for the creation of the material world accepts the three modes of nature. He is a complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his waves are inconceivable." Chapter is entitled The Process of Creation. Shukadeva Goswami has just been asked by Parikshit Maharaj to describe the process of creation. And he is preparing to respond. In yesterday's shloka, it says, to reply properly, he spoke thus. So these next section of shlokas are Shukadeva Goswami's prayers, where he's offering his respects to the Lord. And then he'll go on to give more details about the creation. And it was interesting to hear in previous classes how he was actually recording him, Srila Prabhupada, chanting these verses. Did you ever locate that?
They were going to publish it, right?
Anyway, we hope to get a copy of that and very relevant for the section of the Bhagavatam.
This is actually the first time that Sukadeva Goswami is directly praying to the Lord. This is only the fourth chapter of the second canto, and in previous chapters he kind of went right into it, answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And here he's kind of taking a pause to actually offer his respects to the Lord and offer some prayers before continuing on with his recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in each of the verses coming up, you'll hear the way he's offering his obeisances, namah, especially with the word namaha. It's a very common Sanskrit word, offering obeisances, namaha. In tomorrow's verse also, there's bhuyo namaha, and namo namaste, brahmani ramsyate namaha. Every single verse, the next section, will have a line of prayer, and then there's three or four of them that actually have the same last line, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. 15, 16, 17, and then 18, shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. So the Shukra Goswami is like really feelingly offering these prayers and glorifying different aspects of the Lord. In the purport, can you click through to the Bhagavad Gita verse that was quoted, 15:18? It's in the purport. You can just click on it, I think. On the 15th chapter, which is called Purushottama Yoga. Yeah. Let's chant this together.
Yasmaksharamatitoham aksharatapichottamaha atasmiloke vete cha pratitha purushottamaha.
Once more.
Yasmaksharamatitoham aksharatapichottamaha atasmiloke vete cha pratitha purushottamaha.
Translation. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that supreme person. It's interesting because it says he's not just beyond the materialist and the fallible, but even the infallible cannot fully understand the Lord. He's the greatest and he's celebrated both in this world and in the Vedas as the supreme person. So Purushottamaha, twice it's mentioned he's the greatest. Can you just go back to the verse? Just go up a little bit. Pratita Purushottama. Purushottama means the Supreme Personality. And previously in the verse, also there's another synonym for the Tosmi Loki Vedecha Pratita Purushottama. So when I read this translation, the Lord is declaring himself twice to be the greatest personality. And I was reminded of another famous personality in this Kali Yuga who declared himself to be the greatest. Anyone know who I'm talking about?
Cassius
Clay. Yes. I am the greatest. So Cassius Clay, who are later known as Muhammad Ali, he was like the top boxer in the 60s. And he famously declared himself to be the greatest. I am the greatest. Literally, he said that in public forum. And you have to admit that he was actually the greatest for a short period of time. For some years, he was the number one heavyweight champion, and he had many victories, and he really lived up to the hype. But where is he now? Prabhupada would sometimes say there are so many great heroes and great kings of this world who dominated and conquered vast tracts of land, and for some time they may be very powerful and respected and worshipped by everyone, but by the influence of time, all that power and all that opulence is gradually whittled away until those personalities are no more and simply remembered in history as personalities. So, although every living entity has some claim to greatness, some claim to fame, only the Supreme Lord, only the Personality of Godhead can actually say, I'm the greatest, and back it up. Because Muhammad Ali He later got Parkinson's disease, perhaps because of being pummeled so much in the boxing ring, and he was, you know, unable to function properly. And of course, ultimately, he left his beautiful, strong body, which was so much admired and he was so proud of. It's gone, and that will happen to every single personality who has a material body. Of course, to his credit, Muhammad Ali was actually quite. He had another side of him. I was actually reading in Mother Summer Priya's book how she met him doing book distribution in Los Angeles Airport more than once, and he was always very respectful and kind, and he took Srila Prabhupada's books also, so that's to his eternal credit. But only the Lord is able to proclaim himself to be the greatest, and that's supported by the Vedas, that's supported by the great rishis. Everyone knows God is great. At least that much people, even everyone knows that God is the greatest personality. Allahu Akbar, in Islam, they chant God is great. And the Christians also have the conception of God as being the greatest person. But how exactly God is great is not so much understood outside of the Vaishnava tradition, because our Shastras give so much detail on how God is great. And there are different categories, different qualities of the Lord in which he exhibits his greatness. So primarily there are six opulences which Krishna has in full and which show him to be the greatest personality, to be the Purushottama, to be Swayam Bhagavan. Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yasasashriya, Jnana, Vairagya, Yuktayo, Sannam, Bhagam, Itingina. So any personality who claims to be the greatest, or claims to be great, he has to be able to show those opulences in six different ways. So one is strength. So Muhammad Ali, he had some portion of strength. We certainly accept that. But who can compare to the Lord's strength, who at the age of 7 lifted Govardhan Hill, and who killed so many great demons who were even fearful to the demigods? Very nonchalantly, Krishna would kill these great demons without any real effort. So the Lord is supreme in strength, he's supreme in opulence, in wealth. There's the Forbes list of the top billionaires in the world. It's always changing. Sometimes it's Musk on top, sometimes it's Jeff Bezos, whoever it is. But this entire material world is created by the Lord. He's the proprietor of everything. So whatever teeny coins and notes we have in our pockets or in our balance, ultimately he's the proprietor of everything. He owns everything. And if you read about the description of Vaikuntha, or even the description of Vrindavan, the opulence and the jewels and the milk and the grains that was available to the cowherd community, that's not comparable to anything in this material world in our experience. Of course, knowledge. Krishna is speaking about the Gita, the topmost knowledge, which is studied still thousands of years later, Srimad Bhagavatam, the descriptions of the Lord. So he has the complete grasp of the Vedas. He knows the Vedas. He's the compiler of the Vedas. He's the knower of the Vedas. What to speak of any lower knowledges. Krishna is supreme in all these six aspects. Renunciation. One of the aspects of renunciation is that Krishna every morning, it's described in the Krishna book when he was enacting his pastimes in Dwarka, that no matter what was going on, he every morning his sadhana was impeccable. He would always arise from bed and begin his morning sadhana. Of course, Krishna has no duties to perform in that way. He has no sadhana means a ways to achieve something. But Krishna has nothing to achieve. But just to set the example, he would leave the bed, being embraced by his queens, Rukmini and all. And the queens were not happy that Krishna was leaving, but he affected his opulence of renunciation and left and began to perform his sadhana. So like that, Krishna is full in all the six opulences. He's the most famous person. Who could be more famous than God? He has so many names and so many traditions, worshipped in so many different ways. And God is the ultimate personality, the most famous, the most strong, the most opulent, the most renowned, the most knowledgeable, the most wealthy. So no one can claim to have all these opulences in full, except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, he is the Purushottama, Supreme Person. Or in this verse, Parasmai Purushaya. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, as I was saying, there are many different bona fide religions in this world, and they accept God as great, but even from a very neutral perspective, we can see that the information contained in the Vedic scriptures give so much detail about God, so much intricate detail of his pastimes, of his personality, of his different qualities, 6 different qualities, as mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. And we have an opportunity to worship the Lord through the deity form. You can just gaze at Krishna's beautiful form on the altar, decorated in so many different beautiful ways by the pujaris. And Krishna has so many loving companions. He has pets. He has so many loving pastimes. And our scriptures give all of these descriptions in such great detail. Whereas other traditions, they have some conception of God as being great, or as God as being powerful, or as one has to develop a fear of God. And so these are kind of rudimentary, sketchy understandings of God, but they don't have any real conception. Like some traditions, they don't even allow one to depict the form of God. They don't know what God looks like, and it's actually offensive to depict any form or picture or image of God. So what to speak of the deity form. So we are very fortunate that our scriptures give so much intimate detail into the Lord's likes and dislikes, into his pastimes, and we have such a wealth of knowledge given by our acharyas, given by Srila Prabhupada, so we can absorb ourselves in thoughts of Krishna in many different ways. So one example is that of the Lord's renunciation. It's during the Rasalila when he disappeared. And there's a very nice description in the 17th chapter of the Adi Lila of when Krishna, presented himself as Lord Narayan in front of the gopis. So when Krishna left the Rasalila, he was waiting for Radharani to come. And the gopis, we read how they were so frantically searching for Krishna with so much love and devotion. And then they came upon Krishna, so he turned himself into Lord Narayan to hide from the gopis. So the gopis came there, they thought, oh, look, there's Krishna. But when they arrived, they said, oh, no, this is not Krishna, this is Lord Narayan. And they also offered very, you could say, perfunctory prayer, Namo Narayanaya. They just said, Namo Narayanaya. And they prayed for Krishna. They prayed to Narayan, please give us darshan of Lord, please help us to have darshan of Lord Krishna. Maybe you can pull up the verse 18, Adi Lila 18, Adi Lila 17, 288. And then after offering their respects to Lord Narayan, they continued on their search for Krishna. Adi Lila 17, 288. Namo Narayanaya Deva Karho Prasad Krishna Sangha Deha Mor Huchaho Vishar. So the same Namaha, they pay respect to Lord Narayan, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please be merciful to us, give us the association of Krishna, and thus vanquish our lamentation. So that was their prayer to Lord Narayan, and then they continued on their search for Krishna. So this is a very high level of devotion. Of course, the gopis are the topmost devotees of the Lord, and the method of worship of the gopis is the highest of any category of Vaishnava. So they were able to simply offer their respects to Lord Narayan. They weren't so thrilled to see him. They actually were only eager to see Krishna, and they continued on their search to see Krishna. And then Radharani came, and in front of Radharani, Krishna was not able to maintain his Narayan form. He had to go back to his original Krishna form, which the form that Radharani could relate to. So, many years back, I was, I think it was the Radhashtami in Vrindavan, maybe around 2000 or so, and there was a sannyasi giving class, and he gave a little bit different description of Lord Narayan, and at the time it really bothered me, and it still bothers me after so many years. And in some context he said that, you know, oh, and Lord Narayan will appear before you, and what will he do? And he said, he'll hit you on his head, on your head with his club and cut it off with his chakra. And I was kind of horrified to hear this, because, you know, we're talking about Lord Narayan, who is, you know, worshipable deity. In fact, when we worship, it's recommended in the deity worship, we should worship Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan with awe and reverence. We don't worship the deity in the mood of spontaneity like the residents of Vrindavan. We actually have many rules and regulations and mantras and prayers and standards that we have to follow in the worship of the Lord. So to say something like that is actually not really in line with our acharyas, that Lord Narayan is some kind of aggressor and is going to, you know, hurt his devotee. So it's actually a kind of a rasa bhas to say that. And, you know, we can see how the gopis related to Lord Narayan. They offered their respects. They weren't particularly attracted to him. They offered their respects. They offered prayer, please help us find Krishna. And then they continued on. So that's actually, because the gopis are the epitome of devotion, we can also take example of their reciprocation with Lord Narayan. And another very interesting lila with Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha is when Gopa Kumar, as it's described in Briha Bhagavatamrita, when Gopa Kumar reached Vaikuntha. So Gopa Kumar is a cowherd boy from Vrindavan, and he was on a search, on a quest, on a journey back to Godhead. So at one point he's able to reach Vaikuntha and he has darshan of Lord Narayan. So I wanted to share some of the verses from that section of Briha Bhagavatamrita. This is chapter 4, Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom. So when Gopakumar had darshan of Lord Narayan, of course he related to him as Krishna, because Krishna was his worshipable deity. And when he saw Lord Narayan finally after waiting, and the Vishnu Dutas had kind of prepped him that when you see Lord Narayan, this is how you should offer respects, this is how you should offer prayers. But when he saw Lord Narayan, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy, and he just said, "Oh, Gopal," and he rushed forward as if to hug, he wanted to hug Lord Narayan, which is not the mood in Vaikuntha. So the Vishnu Dutas actually physically had to restrain him and hold him back, and then he fell unconscious in ecstasy. I'll just read a few of the verses from here. "With some effort, those attendants lifted me up, and after some time I regained consciousness. I wiped away with my hands the flood of tears that blocked my sight, and with difficulty I finally opened my eyes. Then I heard the Lord, that best of merciful persons, tell me in a deep, gentle voice, 'Please come back to your senses, dear boy, come here quickly.' I then felt the highest limit of joy. I danced all around as if seized by madness and stumbled about. But with great endeavor, the Lord's servants calmed me down, and at last I awakened from that trance." And then there's a very beautiful description of how the Lord welcomes Gopakumar. "The Supreme Lord said, 'Welcome, welcome, my dear boy. I am fortunate, most fortunate, to meet you here. For so long I have been eager to see you. My dear friend, you have passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me at all. For so long, hope had me dancing like a fool, thinking perhaps in this lifetime, or this, or this, or this, he will finally turn his face towards me. But I could find no pretext on which to bring you to my abode, dear brother, and still follow the timeless laws that I myself have created." So sometimes people say, you know, that, oh, it's like a cop-out. When Krishna wants, then I will go to Vrindavan. When Krishna wants, then I will take up bhakti. But actually Krishna wants so much. And he's expressing here in these verses how he was waiting. The Lord is there in our heart. In this purport also it's mentioned how he enters the body of every living being. And he's there as Paramatma. He's watching us. He's watching our activities. Samani, Vikshe, Purusho, Namagno, like two birds on the same tree. One is eating the fruits and the other is simply watching. So the Paramatma is watching us. He's accompanying us. He's trying to give us good counsel, lifetime after lifetime. And he's waiting for us to turn towards him. And Lord Narayan says here that, "I wanted to bring you back to me, but I couldn't, because I myself created a process, you know, like a process of sadhana bhakti, process of purification that has to be followed for one to be able to go back to Godhead." And so the Lord didn't want to break his own rules, so to speak. On text 85, he says, "You showed me no mercy." You know, this is the Lord speaking to the devotee. "You showed me no mercy, And I considered, and as I considered this, I grew impatient, full of anxiety to receive your favor. So I transgressed my eternal code of conduct and arranged for you to take your current birth. So the Lord is so eager for us to come back to him. And then he says that how he arranged for him to take birth in Govardhan, and he himself became the spiritual master of Gopakumar and helped him return back to Godhead. So Gopakumar was so overwhelmed by the Lord's merciful speech that he was just couldn't say anything, couldn't do anything. And then what happened next is that there were some flute players. They were dressed like cowherds, and they were performing for Lord Narayan's pleasure. And because Gopakumar was also a cowherd boy, he also played the flute, but he joined in and he was able to serve the Lord by playing his flute and dancing. It goes on to describe how he stayed in Vaikuntha, and he didn't accept any of the opulences, any of the mystic siddhis or opulences that the Vaikunthavasis have, because he was happy as a cowherd boy and he related to the Lord as that. But he wasn't able to fully relate to the Lord as Krishna, because Krishna has a slightly different mood in Vaikuntha. And especially the residents of Vaikuntha have different moods, and they weren't so happy when Gopakumar would talk about Krishna, he'd sing about Krishna's Gokul Vrindavan pastimes, he would address the Lord very in a familiar way, and they would try to restrain him. It says, by the habit of my past practice, I would sometimes loudly repeat in various ways, O Krishna, O Gopal. I sang openly in excellent prayers of his activities in Gokul, which reveal his highest glories. And the residents of Vaikuntha told him, you shouldn't address the Lord of Lords like this. Don't sing his praises in that way. Just recite the standard prayers about his unlimited, most amazing glories. So in their mood of awe and reverence, they would like to hear verses like today's one in the Bhagavatam, talking about the Lord's power, his creation, his inconceivability. And they considered that his Bhoma Lila pastimes are like secondary, almost illusory. The word is actually used like a Maya Lila. For them, what Krishna does in the material world is secondary, it's not so important. And this fully absorbed in the mood of Vaikuntha. And then some of the other Vaikunthavasis, they would say, no, it's okay. The Bhoma Lila is also our Lord only. And so it's okay if he chants about those prayers. And some of the others said, actually, you should chant about it. It's all glorious. All the pastimes of the Lord are glorious. So in this way, Gopakumar was creating some kind of anxiety or some kind of discord, even in Vaikuntha, which is supposed to be the place of no anxiety, of full unity. But because his mood was slightly different, he was attracted to the Lord in the two-armed form as Krishna, who performs his wonderful Vrindavan childhood pastimes. Therefore, he couldn't also give up his own mood in serving the Lord, and therefore eventually he was guided to go on to higher realms and ultimately to reach Goloka Vrindavan. So the Lord in Vaikuntha, he accepts the worship of the residents there in the mood of Dasya Rasa, in the mood of servitude, but that has a certain limit, and as a person, Krishna actually prefers the higher rasas when the devotees relate to him as in Sakya Ras, in friendship, or in Vatsalya Ras, as a parent, or ultimately in Madhurya Ras, like the gopis, in conjugal mellow. There's one more reference I would like to share. If you could pull up Adi Lila 4:17. So this is the chapter discussing the confidential reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And Krishna is speaking, as described by Krishna's Kaviraj, and he's giving his own internal, expressing his own internal feelings, which is a very kind of intimate and confidential look into how the Lord feels. So it's Adi Lila 4, CC Adi Lila 4:17. Yeah. So there's no purport to this verse, but if you but it's very relevant to what I was discussing. Aishwarya jnane te shob jagat mishrita aishwarya shitila preme nahi mora prita. Lord Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. So this is the mood of Vaikuntha. They're glorifying the Lord in awe and reverence. They're glorifying his power, his opulence, his creative functions. But Krishna says, actually, that doesn't satisfy me. That's not enough. He wants more. Amare ishwara mane apanakye hina tara preme bosha ami nahai adhina. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. Then verse 21, 22, this whole section is very relevant. I'll just go to 24. Mate mori putra bhave korana bandhan ati hina jnana kore lalana palan. Mother sometimes binds me as your son. I'm speaking about Mother Yashoda. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. Shakha shuddha shakya kore shkande arohan tumi kona borolok tumi amun shama. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. And then ultimately the gopis. Priya jodi mana kori koraya bhatsan vedashruti hoite hare shei moraman. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. So the hymns of the Vedas are the kind of prayers in this shloka, the kind of prayers that the Vaikuntha Vasis offer to Lord Narayan. But Krishna is more attracted by Radharani or the gopis chastising him or calling him names out of pure love for him. So we're so fortunate that our scriptures give these kind of very intimate glimpses into how the Lord's own heart, into how he desires so much for us to turn our faces towards him and to endeavor with devotion to reciprocate with the Lord in different rasas. Of course, in the process of sadhana bhakti, it's recommended we worship the Lord in dasya rasa, but as devotees become purified, they reach the higher realms of purification, nishta, ruchi, bhava, prema, then naturally one's intimate connection with the Lord, the particular rasa, will be revealed in due course, and then the devotees can relish that in even greater ways. But again, that's something that's internal. That's not something that's displayed openly in a public forum. Even Lord Chaitanya, who came to exhibit the topmost manifestation of love of Godhead, he didn't discuss intimate connection with Krishna, intimate relationship, his own internal mood. We find those descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Lord Chaitanya would be having darshan of Krishna and the gopis, but then lose that and how he would be so distressed. But generally in public, he would simply discuss philosophy, he would perform kirtan and relate with the devotees, take prasadam, and only with his intimate associates like Ramana and Dharai and Srup Damodar would he reveal his inner feelings and his mood of separation towards Krishna and the gopis. Similarly, our other acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, very rarely did he exhibit his personal ecstasies in public. Generally, he was very composed and grave and speaking on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking on the philosophy. And there are a few instances here or there where his internal ecstasy, his internal mood of devotion to the Lord was manifest in a way that he couldn't control his emotions, in the sense that he actually, a few times, Prabhupada became stunned while speaking, while giving class or while singing. And he would just like lose his external consciousness and just be absorbed inside, and all the devotees who were present, you know, like they could feel this very special moment where Prabhupada was actually experiencing or manifesting his experience of the deep internal moods of devotion. It happened in Mayapur, happened in Atlanta, happened in Gorakhpur. There are a few instances where Prabhupada manifests these kinds of ecstasies in public, whereas generally he would not manifest that, though certainly he was feeling that great devotion to the Lord always inside, and that's what drove him to work so hard for spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness, or spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission, for translating all these books, sleeping so little at night, getting up in the early hours to translate, to travel tirelessly, to preach, to give classes, to counsel the devotees, to manage the worldwide society. So we're very fortunate to have such examples. By his mercy, we have this knowledge, we have the process of devotional service, and by following that, by following the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, the ultimate goal of life, Krishna Prem will be easily attained for one who can follow strictly in the parampara, follow strictly Srila Prabhupada's process. So I think I've covered the points that I wanted to share on this verse. If anyone has any comments or questions, you can try to discuss.
Well, in the Vaikuntha planets, we know they're not all the rasas there, but I was thinking that, you know, there is Lakshmi Devi, yeah? So there is the Madhurya aspect rasa there. Is there? Or, I mean, I normally just hear Dasya rasa, like you were saying.
Mm.
But how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, Lakshmi is there, so, but she's also more in the mood of a maidservant. She would never speak to Lord Narayan like gopis speak to Krishna. So the predominating mood is Dasya Rasa, though there is, at least Lakshmi Devi, I guess she has some aspect of Madhurya, but she's also very much in that subservient mood. I don't know if someone else can maybe clarify better.
I was thinking, like, is there not Fakir Ras, like, you know, But yeah, it's a mood of Dasya, but yet seems like there's some kind of...
Something perhaps there.
Well, like you said, the predominating mood, you know, this place is really...
Wait for my
So, you know, it's like, I think like you just said, that's a predominating mood. So, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, you talk about, these places are unlimited and dynamic. I mean, and we're trying to like put like, oh, it's in this little box here. And I got to figure it out. But, you know, it's like predominating mood is Dasya Ras, but it's very dynamic. You know, it's maybe that's the way to look at it. You know, I don't... Yeah, because I'm not, like, here right now to tell you exactly what to do.
I thought you were telling from your experience.
Well, you know, even if it was true, I don't
I think it's also important to stress that the devotees in Vaikuntha are fully satisfied with their relationship with Lord Narayan, and they're happy in that dasirasa. It's not like they feel any lacking. Gopakumar felt that because his mood was different. He relates to Krishna, so he couldn't fully relate to Lord Narayan as he could to Lord Krishna. So it's not that Vaikuntha is not perfect, but we've heard also perfect, more perfect, most perfect. The most perfect is Goloka Vrindavan.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very nice class. My question is, since we are human, we think everything in the form of time and space, and it's very difficult for us to think beyond time and space. So when it comes to Vaikuntha, would like to visualize and want to get your thoughts. Maybe he is not going to be, Krishna is not going to be in like human form or you know, the way we think, you know, maybe he's standing in his 2 feet or maybe something beyond, maybe he's not. We think he probably, you know, performs love with hands or hugs somebody, but it's not the way what we think, what we see hugging somebody or giving love to somebody or eating. It's not the way they eat. So just want to get your thoughts on it. How do they perform, you know, or act or behave in Vaikuntha, and how do they, you know, their shape and form look like?
Mm. So the Lord is inconceivable. That's the theme of these verses. So even his material creation is inconceivable for us. What to speak of is his spiritual creation, and his internal pastimes. So we can only read what's given in the Shastras by those devotees who are realized, who have darshan of the Lord. So they can describe to us in language we can understand of the Lord's activities, the Lord's pastimes. But yeah, we can't really speculate or imagine what it's like. We can simply follow the footsteps of the acharyas and read the pastimes of the Lord, read the descriptions of the Lord, read the beauty of the Lord, and that gives some idea of how Krishna is. Though until we actually reach there, I don't think we can ever. It's not possible to understand. It's inconceivable to us. So it's not something we need to worry about too much. But if we read the Shastras, read Krishna book, as Prabhupada has given to us, those pastimes themselves are so attractive, and Krishna's qualities, nectar devotion gives 64 qualities. If you read those descriptions, that's what's recommended for us, to fix our minds on the different qualities and pastimes of the Lord. And that way we'll become qualified to enter into his Nityalila at some point. Yeah, description of Vaikuntha is there. In this chapter that I was reading from Sriya Bhagavatamrita also gives quite a beautiful description of Vaikuntha. So we can read whatever acharyas have given us and fix our mind on that. Beyond that, we can't conceive. We don't have that, entry.
I always find the concept of the perfect, more perfect, the most perfect, that a little confusing, the sense that whatever rasa they're in, they feel totally satisfied. Is that something that you're created with? I've heard that, in the spiritual world, you can even change from one rasa to another. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we're all entering into inconceivable realms here. I don't really have the qualification to give any details on that. But generally, as you said, the devotee has a certain rasa with the Lord and they're fully satisfied in that. Then from the Lord's perspective, he's most satisfied by the higher rasas, by the worship of the gopis and ultimately Srimati Radharani. That's what pleases him the most. And it's true, there are mentions or descriptions that one can upgrade one's rasa, so to speak, but I don't know, what can we really say about that?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Nice to hear this talk.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Granthraj, Mirbhav, Gautam, Ki, Shri Prabhupada, Ki, Urdhva, Mandir.